Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, back to school or is it? We talk to teachers and parents about what will happen in September. Minister for Housing Dara O'Brien on rising rents, housing shortages and the homeless crisis. Donald Trump's former National Security Advisor John Bolton tells us about the man behind the office. Does it really matter if we have a minister in the West? Dennis Nocton and Conor Skehan debate. Travel journalist Owen Corrie has just arrived in Malta. He'll tell us about what it's like to fly despite government advice. And the Willie Clancy Summer School has been cancelled for the first time in 50 years. Liam O'Connor is in studio with some live music and news of what is planned instead. All that and lots more to come between now and 12 o'clock. If you'd like to contact the programme, you can text us 51551. You can tweet at Today Radio RTE or you can email Today Radio at RTE.ie. Now, the summer school holidays might have just begun, but what is school going to look like for children when they return in the autumn? Well, yesterday, the Department of Education issued interim public health advice underpinning the reopening of schools. In the primary sector, this stated that the 1 metre distance should be maintained by students from third class upwards, or if students were in a pod, wherever possible. In second level, social distance should be maintained at 2 metres where possible, or 1 metre between desks. So, how realistic is even a 1 metre social distance in a class of 25 pupils? And does this mean that blended learning is here to stay? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Deirdre O'Connor, Assistant General Secretary of the INTO, Colm O'Rourke, Principal of St Patrick's Classical School in Navan, and Áine Lynch, CEO of the National Parents Council. And good morning to you all, and thank you very much for joining me this morning. Deirdre, I might start with yourself. From the INTO's perspective, what clarity has this guidance brought you in terms of what is going to happen in September?
Well, I suppose, look, we welcome the interim guidance because we have always said that it was necessary to have public health advice to reassure everybody in the school community about going back to school, so that, you know, kind of that advice was necessary, and we'll continue to work with the department to get this honed down so that it's practical and workable for schools. So there's a good bit of work still to be done in terms of making this into practical guidance and advice for schools, but it's a good start. Okay. And I think it's the principles that are set out in it are very important, in that it does, to some extent, it's says, you know, kind of, we have to balance up the good that schools do with what's possible to minimise the risk of the spread of COVID-19. I think that's where we're working.
Okay, so what every parent out there is wondering is, will my primary school daughter or son be able to return to school in autumn?
I think that the guidance that here does provide a pathway to schools being able to reopen with their pupils back in, because it does give us the scope here to work with the 1 metre physical distancing where that is possible, and also to maintain physical distancing between children in terms of bubbles or pods, and maintaining separation between children in different ways in primary schools. And I acknowledge this is entirely different than post-primary, where children are going into one class and sitting around in a group or a bubble. I mean, many primary school parents will be familiar with this. Their children go into class and they sit down at a group. And I suppose what might be different is that they're not, that group may not be interacting as much with the group beside them, and that they'll be keeping between each other, and that physical distancing can be maintained in that way.
And can it, though, I wonder, Deirdre, because there'll be a lot of classes with 25 kids, with 30 kids, you know, in small classrooms. How do you do 1 metre in that instance?
Well, I mean, there is absolutely work to be done here. And I mean, you know, kind of, I think what this has brought into focus is what we have always said. We're working with the largest primary class, you know, the largest average primary class sizes in Europe. And some of them are in small rooms and some small buildings. The guidance does say that the space can be maximised, for example, by moving out, you know, kind of other kinds of furniture. And schools are going to be looking at all of these practical things. But, you know, kind of, there are going to be particular challenges in schools, but I think we've always said, I think schools and teachers are up for the challenge and trying to look at how.
Sure, and I understand that. And I think a lot of people will be very happy to hear you say that, you know, a can-do attitude is necessary in these times. It's just, how do you do it as opposed to can you do it, given the guidelines that are there in place? Because on that instance of, for example, the 1 metre and in classes that have a lot of pupils in a small space, you don't seem to know how that will work. do you?
Well, I mean, I can't speak to every school, but I know I've been engaging with school principals over the last while, and they have been looking at what the options are in their particular school building. And they have been looking at how they can organise their space and how they can use their space in such a way as to keep children, as to keep children separate and as far as possible, and to maintain that space. But there are limitations. They have a limited number of teachers.
Yeah. So I suppose on the basis of that then, is it possible to say that all primary school students will return in September, or do you think it's more likely that there will be students returning with blended learning for primary school in September?
I think the objective of schools will be to get their pupils back, and to have a small number of pupils who may have to remain at home, and those are children who are in the very high risk or vulnerable category, who have been cocooning all along. I mean, I think there are some of those children whose parents will not be in a position to send them back to school, where medical advice just will not be that. I mean, I think there will be situations, say for example, where a school or a class might become contacts and be advised by the HSE to stay at home. And I think in those situations, you know, schools have become familiar, I think, with supporting pupils learning at home. But I would, you know, we would hope that as far as possible, that wouldn't become a routine part of school.
I did want to ask you about that specifically, because as we all know, any parent of a small child knows kids get sick all the time. And it's not a serious illness. They just have a cough or sniffles or whatever. But they can be symptoms of COVID-19, even though they're quite possibly not COVID-19. So if that happens, if a child goes into school with a runny nose or a cough or is sneezing or a temperature, what happens? Does the whole class then have to quarantine? Does the teacher have to quarantine?
Well, I think the first thing is, and I think there is a commitment to do this. I think there is a huge public health. I think there's a public health message that has to go out to parents also about how they're going to respond. And I know, you know, Anya is there, and we'll speak to this later. But I think there will be an onus on parents to be responsible, as it will be on teachers, not to go into school. I mean, teachers are notorious for struggling into school when they're sick. And I think that's a behaviour that just is not going to be, and parents are not going to be able to send their children to school when they're sick. And all I appreciate that is a challenge.
I do want to get on to Anya in a second, but just one final question for the moment, Deirdre. What about then if the teacher calls in sick? A lot of the time what would happen is the class would be split and passed on to the other classes, divided into the other classes of that stream. That can't happen now, can it?
No, it can't. And that is something that we have that we have been making very strong representations to the department in relation to. We have a pilot project there in relation to supply panels for substitute teachers. We have a huge concern that there are a number of absences that, you know, that the department doesn't cover with a substitute teacher, and that has to end. For example, the first day of for uncertified sick leave, teachers don't have substitute cover for that. Okay. We need to get substitute cover. We need to get additional time for our teaching principals, who need additional time to carry out all of the responsibilities that are going to be entailed. They can't be running in and out of their classrooms when something happens. So I think there is a huge issue to be addressed there.
All right. As I said, we also have Anya Lynch, who is CEO of the National Parents Council, on the line. And Anya, just to give you a taste of some of the texts that we have coming in on 51551, one person simply says, "What a load of nonsense. I'm a school principal. This is total unworkable rubbish." Another person says, "This is Anne in Leash. 25 pupils. My daughter is in a class of 32. It has never been below 30 since she started. Tiny packed classes, overcrowded schools. How is this going to work?" Another person says, "What about school transport? How is that going to operate in September? Will buses be able to work at full capacity?" That comes from John, who is a bus driver. What would your concerns be around this?
Well, I think one of the main things that we're hearing from parents is that they want their children to go back fully in the new school year. And I think, as Deirdre's pointing out there, that's what we should all be working towards. How that's going to operate in different schools, I mean, all we have at the moment is the health guidance. So I think there's a piece of work that will need to be done amongst all the stakeholders with the Department of Education to see how that is going to actually operate in schools. But we do have to look at balancing risk here. And parents are telling us very strongly that for their children's mental, social health, for their reconnectedness with friends, for having back to normality and routine, that it's really, really important that their children go back. And it's balancing, I suppose, the risks that are there. care and how we can do that in a way that keeps children and staff in the school as safe as possible. So I think this health guidance has given us some really good indications, particularly at primary school, of how that can happen fully, balancing and being cautious around the risk. And I think one of the things that Deirdre's pointed out there that's really important is when children or parents or staff have any symptoms whatsoever, when they would normally have said, oh, well, we'll go in and see what happens, that those people have to stay at home now, and we need to keep COVID out of the schools as much as possible, and then have really, really good hygiene and distancing where possible as well.
Yeah, and I hear you saying keep it out of the schools as much as possible. But again, another texter here, this is from Kate, who's a primary teacher, and she says, what does whenever possible mean in a small classroom with 30 plus kids? The answer is it means nothing, because it will not be possible, full stop. And she's referring there to the possibility of socially distancing by 1 metre in a class with 30 kids. She's saying that's not going to be possible. If we're being told, Anya, that that's what we need to do to prevent COVID-19 spreading, and teachers are saying that's not going to be possible, then are our kids safe? Is this the right way to go?
Well, I think wherever possible, there are lots of possibilities of where it will be able to happen. I mean, obviously, there's going to be challenges. But one of the things that we've seen over the last number of weeks and months is that different, different environments have found different solutions to reducing risk. We can't eliminate risk altogether. But there's certain industries like hairdressing, restaurants, all of these different industries where social distancing is very, very difficult or impossible. And they've found other ways of mitigating against some of the risk, because it's seen that it's important that they get back. Mm. Now, I suppose from the National Parents Council point of view, schools are an essential service, so we have to find a way of getting children back into school. And where social distancing isn't possible, in some situations where maybe it won't be possible, we have to mitigate that with putting other protective factors in place. And whether that's keeping children in pods or in bubbles, making sure that classes aren't mixing with each other, where possible, keeping some distance between children, knowing that is difficult, more difficult the younger children are, but we need good hand hygiene, okay, good cough etiquette, all of these things that we know make a difference. We need to put those in place to mitigate the risk, because we know that children going back into school
all
is
right.
essential.
I want to go to Colm O'Rourke, who's also on the line. That's principal of St. Patrick's Classical School in Navan. Colm, is this workable for you?
Not really, Sarah. I think that a lot of what has been mooted is quite impractical for a secondary school. Some of it may work in a primary school, but the idea of students staying in the one class doesn't work at second level. I think anybody who understands the intricacies of a timetable, particularly at fifth and sixth year level, we run 1 hour classes, and one group who may be together for history will not be together for geography in the next group, and won't be together for Irish or maths. So there's continuous movement and mixing between groups. So the idea of social distancing, I think, doesn't work in most secondary schools, particularly in school like ours, where you have an old building and narrow corridors. You have problems with lockers, with toilets and the canteen.
So would you agree then with the ASTI that this, for secondary schools, under these guidelines, it would lead to a mix of blended learning and in-school learning?
Well, I wouldn't like to be seen to be ever agreeing with the ASTI on things, but I think they have a certain point here. But I think most teachers would also say that blended or distant learning doesn't work. There's a lot of disengagement. It was getting worse as it went along. And I think that really what we should be looking at is local solutions. And I think a lot of people will try and do. We have 900, and we have been looking at the idea of maybe having, instead of one-hour classes, half-hour classes, bringing 450 in the morning and running the classes for half the time and doing the exact same thing in the afternoon. Now, that course, that takes away what is the vital part of school, which is lunchtime, where you have sport and drama and debate and all the other activities that the students really like. So you would remove that, but it would be one solution to the problem, but it's not a solution that I would like.
And under that solution, would it be possible to give the children all the core subject education that they would have got under the normal system?
Yes, it would, but they would only have school for half the week. And of course, you would have other issues then with childcare and buses and things like that as well. But if we're looking to have solutions to problems That is one of them. But my favourite solution is that we make whatever arrangements we possibly can for good hygiene, and that we have everybody back in together. Because I think in reality, Sarah, social distancing between teenagers has broken down already. They're back playing sport together. They're doing all sorts of activities together. So I think that what we're going to have to do is probably take a chance and come back. There is an issue here because we are operating in a very big community. If we have over 900 students, we have almost 75 teachers, we have 1,800 parents. You're over 3,000 of a community between families and everybody involved. And the safety of all is paramount. There will be students with underlying conditions. There will also be teachers with underlying conditions. So those sort of concerns have to be taken into account. But I really hope that we are able to come back here to school in September, and that we will do whatever we possibly can to make the environment as safe for teachers and students.
All right. Well, thank you all very much for joining me on that. That's Áine Lynn. Sorry, last speaker there was Colm O'Rourke, Principal of St. Patrick's Classical School in Navan. And I was also joined by Áine Lynch, CEO of the National Parents Council, and Deirdre O'Connor, Assistant General Secretary with the INTO. We're going to be talking about the new junior ministers next.